Well, I want to just say thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to speak about a group of people that are dear to my heart and about churches that I've been involved with for the last 32 years. Now, reports like this can be a little bit difficult. You know, Sunday night, we're used to a sermon, and we like some points. So one of the first things I'm going to try to do is make some points that I think are relatable to the evangelism going on over there and in the world. And then I want to focus on the history of one particular church, and that is the Church of Bucharest. And that is a church that you are helping to support. You are, as I understand, supporting Bogdan and Diana Luta. And so we'll talk a little bit about that church. We'll talk a little bit about them. And talk a little bit about the history of that church. And then finally, talk about what we tried to accomplish in our trip this last year, which was the end of October, the beginning of November. And so I don't know what number trip this was, but it's close to around 20 trips that I've made there. I've lived there for a couple years. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. And again, I don't know how much you know about Romania, but here's a little map of Romania, and you can see that it is surrounded by, is it five? Yeah, five different countries. Ukraine, Hungary, Serbia, Bulgaria, and Moldova is kind of locked in there as Ukraine surrounds it. So Ukraine actually borders Romania in a couple different places. And of course, when you hear the word Ukraine, probably most of us still like, oh, well, we know what's been happening there over the last few years. And has that impacted Romania? It definitely has. Many people of the Ukraine have come into Romania for safety. In fact, not this trip, but my last trip, the first question I was asked, Ukraine? In other words, they're asking where I'm from, and they're wondering if I'm from the Ukraine. And I have to tell them, no, I'm from the United States. So, but that's very common that they have a lot of people from the Ukraine. So the churches that I've been involved with over the last 32 years are these, and these are the ones I'm going to be talking about. There's a church all the way to the west in the city of Timișoara, and that's where that's located. There is a church in a small town. It's not small, but it's not large. It's kind of a medium-sized city called Severin, and it's not even big enough to be on this map, but that's where it's located. And this is where we had our conference, our Bible conference this year, 2025, in Severin. And the neat thing about Severin, it's one of my favorite towns, is it borders Romania and Serbia, and the border is the Danube River. And from the hotel we stayed in, if you were on a certain side of that hotel, you could actually look across the Danube, and you could see Serbia, and really kind of a beautiful area there. And then the church that I want to talk to you about, the oldest church that I know of in Romania, and that is the church in Bucharest. Bucharest is the capital. It is a very large city. And I did drive in Bucharest and survived. And so if you ever been on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride or ever watched the old cartoon Mr. Magoo, that give you a pretty good idea of what it's like to drive in Romania. They do have lanes, right? Those are only suggestions in Romania. And then I'm hoping that maybe sometime in the future I can come back and tell you a little bit about the church in Constanza. It's a great story. I just don't have time for that today. In fact, I'm going to apologize right off the bat. I'm going to tell you more about Romania and the people of Romania than you ever wanted to know. But I really want to be considerate of your time. And so I think I boiled this all down to an hour and a half. That would be good, right? No. But these churches exist because of a monumental event that happened as I was growing up. And I always like to, talk to young people and see if I show them this picture, do they realize what this is a picture of? Do they realize what this is indicating? What is really interesting is, of course, this is when the Berlin Wall came down and the first communist country to come to an end in communism was, of course, East Germany. And what a time it was to live through all that and to see all that. And, of course, all that trickled down at like of a domino effect of all these other Eastern Bloc communist countries. They just started to fall one after another, including Romania in December of 1989, right before Christmas. The people revolted and eventually overthrew their terrible, terrible Romanian dictator, Nicolae Ceausescu. And one of the things I love to study is the revolution in Romania. I wish we had time to talk about it, but you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. And if you look behind me, you'll notice here is the big square where a lot of times Nicolae Ceausescu would gather all the people and he'd give his big speech. And you'll notice in that square, there are these tanks. Well, just a day or so before this picture was taken, these tanks were out there to push the people back and to kill the people and basically try to stop this revolt. But on this particular day is where the military joins the people. And so you can see them parked out there. You can see the people among them. No fear of the military. You see, these are all countries that had a government that told them, there is no God and you can't study the Bible. And imagine you're telling people for about 50 plus years those things. Well, when all that comes down, guess what those people want to know about? And that is the Bible, the Word of God. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. That's going to be one of my points. One of the interesting things is I've been able to tour some of the important buildings and so forth in the history of Romania. I've been able to take a tour of Nicolae Ceausescu's old house. As everyone lived in poverty, he was living in luxury. He would give the people every night, hold on to your kids, 2 hours of TV. And it was 2 hours of propaganda. While in his basement, he had satellite TV and he was watching any show he wanted, even shows in America. Now, he did allow one show to be aired from America to the Romanians. You probably want to know, what show was that? I'm going to tell you what show it was. I want you to start thinking about that and see if you get, why would he allow them to watch that? The one American show that he was allow the Romanians to watch, he would air on public TV, was a show called Dallas. Now, can you figure out why he would want them to see Dallas? Well, he would want them to see Dallas because he thought the people would see, well, yeah, see, this is the way the West lives. This is the way Americans are. Well, unfortunately, backfired on him because the people loved JR and wanted to be like JR. And so really, it didn't help his cause. Well, one of the buildings I got to tour with my son Kyle is the big Parliament building. This is the second largest building in the world next to the Pentagon. So here's a small little country, Romania, and they have the second largest building in the world. Just kind of shows you the mentality of Nicolae Ceausescu. And I was taken into this room where you have this big round circular table with all these chairs. This actually was the room towards the end that the communist leadership met in. And so every director or whatever they called those directors under communism, this is where they sat and they did their business. Now, after the fall of communism, when they started their new socialistic government, this is the way it occurred. Everyone stood up and took one seat to the right and sat down. And that's one of the debates, is that the revolution, was it really from the people or was it all set up by the government? Well, my opinion on that is it started by the people, but the government leaders saw the writing on the wall, and so they, at some point, decided, okay, we've had enough of Nicolae Ceaușescu, and they found a way to end his life along with his wife. And then his left-hand man now became the president, and his left-hand man now became the vice president, and everyone just took one seat to the right, and life went on. And I don't know about, I just thought that was really interesting how you can just transition power, just take one seat to your right. But that's how it happened. All right. So one of the things that I think makes a good point is what I call striking when the iron is hot. You've heard that cliche, right? That phrase. And it really is true. It's something that you can learn from opportunities like this. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2, Paul writes to Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. And so one of the things that we bring out of this passage is preaching the gospel is not just preaching, it's an urgency. There needs to be an urgency about it. And that's why a lot of these churches started, is because there were American Christians that saw a great opportunity, a great open door. You read the New Testament and you'll see Paul talking about open doors and opportunities. And so many, like my wife and I, were willing to stop our lives here and to go over there and to live for 1, 2, 3 years. And to see what we could do. And it was an incredible time. You have a picture back here. That is a picture of me and my wife. That's how old we were when we went. We, at that point, were married for 4 months. And we just figured before we get established, we'll just go over there and live for a couple years and do what we could. And this is a picture of, we just got a care box from our family. And of course, we tell them what we can't get back in then. And back in those days, you can't get pancake mix or Bisquick mix or peanut butter or syrup. And so you can see they gave us these two big boxes of Bisquick, and there's some peanut butter there as well. So all those things you can find now. But back then, you couldn't. And it was just a wonderful period of time. I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But also, as I think about the work in Romania over the last 32 years, I think about this important lesson about overcoming the past. I think about Paul's words in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. But one thing that I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And of course, we know he presses on. He presses on for the very reason that he was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. And when you think about going over there so soon after this communism government comes to an end and supposed freedom now of religion, what I've been able to experience is to see a rebirth of a country. A country trying to overcome its evil, terrible past and trying to find a better future. And I remember living over there, you could go to some of these buildings where they were prominent buildings among the communists. They were part of the revolution. You could still see the gunshot holes in the building. Many of these buildings remain desolate, unused, empty, because of what they represented to the people. They did not want anything to do with them. It was such a bad memory. And eventually, they just tore those down and then rebuilt something in their place. But it took about 15, 20 years to get to that point where they were willing to do that. And of course, this is a picture of the terrible leader, Nicolae Ceaușescu, who murdered the people, who oppressed the people, who did just about one of the worst, if not the worst, dictators in the communist system. And this is actually a picture of him, his last speech to the people before he is arrested and a very quick but fair trial, and then him and his wife were then executed. And it's been a really interesting experience to see how a country gets past that and to see what it looks like today. In a lot of ways, there's a lot of improvement. There's a lot of good that has come out of it. But also with some of the Western ideas, as you can imagine, there is an adoption of sinful attitudes and apathetic attitudes, and it's not good in a lot of ways. People are not as hungry for the gospel as they used to be. And then I also want to say thank you to all of you, to be a congregation that understands, yes, we need to work here at home, but not to forget to take the gospel other places, and that you're willing to support the work going on in Romania, especially in Bucharest. And I'm just here to tell you, one who has known Bogdan for a number of years and now have gotten to know his wife, Diana, you should have no fear that your money is being wasted. Your money is going to a wonderful family who wants nothing more than to preach the word of God and to build up that church. And so I want to give that high recommendation. In fact, in my 32 years, the churches of Lakeland have been the most supportive of the work in Romania. Many Christians in Lakeland actually making trips over there and helping and encouraging the brethren over, again, the last 30 years or so. A lot of that comes from when Frank Jamerson was preaching here in Lakeland, making several trips over there. He actually stayed with us at least two or three times in these trips. And yet, I've met brethren that will, not care for it. And I've heard every excuse for it. I've heard, well, we've got work here to do. And but I like, when I talk to someone like that, I like to ask them, well, do you like the New Testament? Do you like studying the New Testament? Do you think we need to get back to the New Testament? Yes. Well, what is the New Testament? It is foreign evangelism. As the gospel is taken from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to Galilee to Syria into what? Asia Minor, over to Macedonia, into Achaia. Those are not all one country, brothers and sisters Christ. As you're reading the book of Acts, you're reading about foreign evangelism. And the same with the New Testament. And I think it's important that we put that perspective in it, because we don't want to be people that want to go back to the New Testament and just pick and choose how we want to be like the people of the New Testament. They had an attitude that, yes, the gospel needs to go everywhere. And I'm glad that you are a group of God's people that share that sentiment. We have more workers here at home. We have more resources. We have more money. And God will expect more of us because of that. And so thank you for supporting the work over there. So we went over there January of 94. It's almost exact to the date, 32 years ago. And we started working with two families over there, Buddy Marilyn Payne and Carrie and Kim Keenan. Carrie and Kim also had a little boy named Caleb. And then Benji Payne also went with his parents. But you can see from this picture that we would go out onto the streets. It's January, February. It's cold out there. And this is just a very popular piazza, Piazza Universitatia, where the university is. And you can see people are stopping, and they want to see what it is we're doing. And, I mean, we just were able to get study after study after study. This is a picture of the families that went over there. Wish I had more time to talk about each and every one. But it was a great opportunity. Here's a picture of us making songbooks. You think about that. Well, if you're going to be a church, you need songbooks. And so we're kind of cutting and pasting and interpreting and taking some English hymns and trying to figure out some Romanian words that are similar that fits that tune. And Joe talked about Elena Tanasi. There she is right there on the top in that the little blue shirt there. That's Elena. And she was part of that church in Bucharest a number of years. And then some preachers came over in 1993 and started preaching the gospel in Constanza. And they just made a long, I think, three-week, four-week trip. And they actually were able to baptize six people, six, most of them being young. And this is a picture of Buddy and Carrie, my wife Tamara, and the six, what we call the six original Christians in Constanza. And so it was a great opportunity, just a lot of people hungry and thirsty for the word. We would have people at 10 o'clock at night knock on our door. And they would say, I'm sorry, but we were talking about this passage and we had a question and we just didn't want to go to sleep until we had an answer. And we would invite people in and we'd have a impromptu Bible study. It would not be uncharacteristic on a Wednesday night after our Bible class to have one preacher over here, another preacher over here, another preacher, and just like small little Bible studies created after services because they had questions and they wanted to know these things. It was, you talk about hungry, thirsty for the gospel, striking when the iron's hot. It was a great time for that. It's not like that anymore. It's not that people aren't interested. It's just a lot harder to find those that are willing to study and open up. And so when those opportunities come about, we need to be willing in one way or another to support and to get those opportunities because, as Paul says, time is going to come where they won't listen anymore. So we worked for the church in Bucharest for 6 months, and we got our feet wet. And, you know, again, we were just a young married couple in a foreign country, not really knowing what we were doing. And then it was decided, well, we need someone down in Constanza. And so Tamara and I really hit it off with the Christians there. And so we moved down, and the rest of our time in Romania was spent in the city of Constanza, right by the Black Sea. And so what transpired was just a whole bunch of Bible studies, studying with the Christians, studying with non-Christians, a whole lot of baptisms. Again, people hungry for the word. We went from six, and the number just kept growing in that year. We moved into our own church building, very biblical. This is one of our first church buildings in Constanza. It is a upper room, very biblical, above one of the Christians' parents' garage. And so they rented this space to us. And again, you can see we've grown to about 20, 25, and we have some American preachers coming over to encourage and help with the work there as well. And so it was a great, great time. So now we're going to jump 30-some years in the future, and this is the church in Bucharest, how it looks today. This was on a Wednesday night, and as you imagine, it's a small church, but It has some of the best people in the world. It's a strong church. And it's kind of going through a little bit of a baby boom. And so I want to kind of back up a little bit to right around, I think this is around 2000. And this is a picture of the first preacher, the first Romanian preacher in Bucharest. So basically, Americans were over there preaching for Bucharest all the way up until about 1996, 97. And then Marian Otvos, and this is his family, took on the preaching responsibilities. And many of you may know Marian and Gabby. I don't know, maybe they have actually been here. But he retired not too long ago, a couple years ago, and like so many people, retired in Florida. And he is now preaching for a small church over in New Smyrna. And so they're living in the States. This is a picture of Roxana, Roxy. And she is now married. She's living in the Orlando area. And she has, I believe it's three kids that she has. And so that, you can tell how far back it goes. But I look at this picture, and the point that comes out to me is you've got two generations there. You've got Marian and Gabby. They're the first generation of that church. And what are they doing? They're raising their kids, the second generation, in the church. And so I want to highlight these two young men. This is Liviu. Liviu is still faithful, has been in the Church of Bucharest for many, many years, but not too long ago, well, maybe longer than I imagine, he moved to, I think it was Belgium or Holland, and so he's living there, going to a church in Belgium that actually does all their services in English. It's the Church of Christ in Belgium that does their services in English, interesting. But he keeps very close connection with the brethren in Bucharest. And then next to him is Alex. And so this was Alex back then, and this is Alex today. Alex Otvos. And he is a pillar of the church there. He's not a full-time preacher. He has a really good job there. And this is his wife, Charisela, which in Romania means something like heavenly. And if you ever meet Charisela, you will see she is properly named. Well, they just had their first child. And remember, I said that the church in Bucharest is having kind of a baby boom. So here's their first child. And of course, they're going to name him some Romanian name, right? They named him Erwin. And we gave Alex a really rough time. I said, where did you get Erwin from? I said, someone in your family? He goes, no, it's German. All right, whatever, Alex. But Erwin's just a wonderful little kid, great family. Alex, you know, works very closely with Bogdan, and those two really are the pillar and support of that church. So what do you have? You have the second generation now raising the third generation. And when you talk about foreign evangelism, these small churches, we know here in America, but even more so, how important it is to teach and to raise up that new generation. You really see that's the future of the church. And so that church is in really good hands because they got some great Christian families bringing up these young kids. And so here they are, Bogdan and Diana Luta. He is the full-time preacher there. I believe, if I remember correctly, Bogdan was actually converted by Roxana. And so he came to church in Bucharest, and that's when I got to know him, known him for many years. And then just met this wonderful young lady, Diana. And Diana and Charisela are like best friends. And to see them just grow together and to do what they can for the Christian family there, it's great. And then this is their first son. He was born a couple years ago. His name is Theo, or we would say Theo. And he's just a great kid. And I have, you probably already know, but in this picture, you probably can't tell. Ladies tell me they can. Diana's pregnant. And yet pregnant, she went all the way from Bucharest to Severin, was part of the conference, taught one or two of the ladies' classes, all while being pregnant and caring for little Theo. Just incredible. And so all through Christmas Day, she was in labor. And then the day after Christmas, here is their second son, and this is Elias. And so they have two sons now, and this is Bogdan, and he's kind of tucked in here, but you see Elias and Theo. And so they're hitting, you know, true family life, and sometimes that gets a little rough. And so here they are, both of the boys fussy and having a lot of fun there. And I'll just put this in perspective. They're raising this family of now four in a one-bedroom apartment. One-bedroom apartment. So that's very common in Bucharest. And then this is Lavinia, and she has a daughter. She's the only one that has a girl. And this is little Sophia. And so they're going through this great baby boom as the third generation is coming up. So in this trip in 2025, we spent our first week with the church in Bucharest, and it was just a great week of fellowship, Bible studies, eating meals together. This is a very common Romanian soup called ciorbă. It's a borscht-based soup. And so it's a little different than our soups, but it is wonderful. Y'all have to try it sometime. And so then, as we start to bring this to a close, thank you so much for your attention. Just want to end by talking a little bit about the Bible Conference 2025. We've had conferences over the last 30 years here and there. But the last 2 years, with the end of COVID, we really wanted to get these Christians back together. And so 2024, 2025, we all give this conference several days where Christians from every church come to one city, this Severin, and we study the Bible and we have fellowship together. Now, very quickly, I just want to tell you, trips like this for us, they are physically demanding. They are difficult. They're very rewarding, but very difficult as well. So here's some particulars for this trip. It took me 4 airplane flights there and back, over 15,000 miles traveled, 2 train rides, multiple subway rides, 2 car rides across the country, 2 hotels, 2 apartments, 3 cities. Basically, it takes me 24 hours when I leave my house to where I can put my head down somewhere and get a good night's sleep. And then the next day, you're trying to do as much as you can. And so there's a lot of travel. There's a lot of study. You really have to have things prepared because you're moving. But I don't do it by myself. Here's my traveling partners this year. This is Carrie Keenan. I don't know if any of you know Carrie. Carrie and I over the last 20 years have been pretty much traveling partners. Every trip we make, we go together. We support one another. And I like being around Carrie somewhat because I'm the young guy. But that means I have to watch out and care for Carrie. And that can be a little bit. Now, if you know Carrie, he is 6'7" or 6'8". So when we can, especially the long international flights, we do spend a little bit of money and we get the extra leg room. So there is our comfort there. And even with that, a 10-hour, 10 and a half hour flight, that can get old and can get tiresome. So it was Carrie and myself, and then for the third year in a row, my son Kyle joined us. And I'm so excited to have the younger generation coming and be part of this work, because I'm not getting any younger, and these trips get harder and harder. But he's made his third trip. He joined us, and this year, his very, very serious girlfriend, which we think sometime this year will be his fiance, she went to Romania for the first time, and she joined us and traveled with us. And her name is Lily. I don't know if I said that. And she just did a great, great job. She's originally from Louisville. I don't know if I said that right. And then also joining us was Dan and Tammy Peters. Now, Dan and Tammy have lived in Romania two different times and then moved back to America. They're back in America. In fact, he preached over in Merritt Island for a little while, over on the east coast here. But now they're in Kentucky. And so they joined us. And then, for the first time, got to work with Sean and Diane Bain from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Now, Sean and Diane have made several trips, but they've only worked with the churches in the West, Timișoara and Severin. So this was their first time meeting the brethren in Bucharest and Constanza. And so we had a whole group of preachers helping us in this Bible conference. And so there's the contingent there. But it was time now in the second week to move from Bucharest to Drobeta, Tibin, Severin. And just to give you a few factors of this conference. Oh, that didn't turn out. So we go Wednesday through Saturday. We had members of every church represented. 11 speakers, Romanians and English speakers. And we had in the morning 2 hours where we had women teaching women, men teaching men. We had men's classes, women's classes. That was something a little bit new for us this time, but it worked great. And we actually had a one-hour children's class in the morning. Tammy Peters and a few other ladies working with the kids, and that's very important. Again, thinking about that younger generation. And then we all stayed in the same hotel, and we all had our meals together. Again, we were trying to get these Christians bonded together and to know each other. And they know each other really well, but we want them to keep leaning on one another. And so here's some pictures very quickly. This is the first night, all of us together in the conference room. This is Alex Oakvoss leading us in some songs. Now, if we were to sing out of their songbook, you guys would recognize the tune, the music. You wouldn't understand the words. And then here's some of our speakers. Again, one of the great things is we're having Romanians stand up and preach the gospel. We do translate the English. We do not translate the Romanian. And so if we can't understand them, that's our problem. But we do have a little help, and I'll show you that. So here's some more. And here's Bogdan and Diana. And then Lily's over here. She's teaching one of the ladies' classes as well. But here's our help. And I'll just tell you, this is like a game changer. Technology just keeps advancing. And so we actually had a set of these headphones with the app. And they work pretty well. But some of the speakers, it didn't pick up too well. But the technology is advancing so quickly that I'm pretty sure my next trip, it's going to be almost perfect. And of course, you know, Romanian is not the first language they use in this technology, right? So we kind of have to wait sometimes, but this is going to be a game changer in breaking through that language barrier. And so here we have a group picture of all those in attendance. These are, again, Christians from America, Christians from every church in Romania, and just had a wonderful, wonderful trip. Always pleasant to be with them, even though it's very fast-paced. So I was thinking right about 40 minutes, so we're right there. I went a little bit, you know, I usually try to get about 35 minutes, so thank you for your attention. And, you know, as we think about preaching the gospel, where we're talking about Romania, we're talking about here in America, one of the neat things is that all of us will be together in the same place one day. And we have a little joke with the Romanians is, in heaven, which language will we speak? And they're pretty sure it's Romanian. But we'll speak the same language, and that's the language of God. And there's one here tonight that isn't a child of God. What are you waiting for? If there's someone that has strayed from the path and we can help them bring you back, whether it's through prayer or study, if you need to become a Christian, we can baptize you tonight in Christ. If you need to be in studying, I'm sure we can study with you and show you that path to salvation. If we can help you in any way, why don't you let that be known as together we stand.